Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The Lord has so many things to say to us. In His guidance, which I love so much, it can really make the difference. When we draw near to Him, it gives Him a chance to draw near to us. If He tried to draw near to us and we didn't, and we were not receptive, it wouldn't do much good, because when the Lord speaks, you have to receive His word in order to have faith in it. Because if you don't believe it in the first place, you can't use it. You can use His wisdom. You can use His knowledge, His counsel, His word. All of His word comes to us for different reasons. The wisdom of God is spoken with the intent that we may live better and avoid trouble. Now, ice cold religion teaches that God sends trouble to hinder us. I mean, to make us grow. And He sent trouble to humble us. Well, that's not true. When God sends judgment, it's to punish people for what they've done. And it's not good. But the trouble in our lives is not God's judgment. That comes from Satan, actions of lack of knowledge, and other people's actions of lack of knowledge. Wrong advice, poor advice, lack of knowledge. Not knowing the wisdom of God. Not knowing the counsel of God. God is not mean. He has no satisfaction in watching us suffer. You know, it's unfortunate people teach all these ice cold religious doctrines that are wrong. And they use scripture to prove their points. And people will amen anything. I've heard people amen some of the most astounding abominations. And think they're right. And rejoice. Now, rejoice is not wrong, but it's wrong to rejoice over false information. And I know that people can't always tell. But if you pay attention to the Holy Spirit, error never sits right. Whenever people talk error, you know, if I paid attention, the times that I paid attention, I knew it didn't sound right. So I went to a holiness church, which I went there to learn about the Holy Spirit. But I learned a lot of things as well. And some things were not right. But I have to admit that I admire people that love God. They were trying. And they failed in many ways. They fail just like anybody could. But I don't blame them. We're trying to learn the ways of God in a fallen world. So people make big mistakes, but I don't think God loves His people. He understood. He knew what we were trying to do. The Lord knows everything. But He took me aside and showed me some things and how to correct some things. He loves His people. If you're trying and if you fail, I still respect you because you tried. The man that won't try I don't respect him as much as I do the man that tried and failed. It's a challenge to learn and grow in this fallen world. Now, if everybody acted like angels, it would be so easy to learn the things of God. And that's the only advantage that you'll receive in heaven. People are doing, they know what not to do because they're in the presence of God. They live in the presence of God. They're motivated by the presence of God. And all the persuasions of heaven is good. And people learn and grow there as well. But they grow faster because there's no interference. You're trying to grow in a world where there's interference. That means you have to receive God's word here and believe it and then speak it and act on it. Satan is trying to take all of us away from the simplicity of the doctrine of God. It's easy to understand it. It's easy to receive it. It's sown in peace. And we can use it. We can go forward, not backwards. But dead doctrines, ice cold religion, will kill you. It's just as satanic as a witch's ritual, because it's not of God and it's spoken in the name of God. It does damage. And it ends up causing people to be divided, scattered. You know, Paris, in the gainsaying of Korah, back in the days of Exodus, Korah rebelled against Moses, and he had 250 prominent men with him in his rebellion, and he was persuading everybody, and the Lord was going to wipe them all out, because he saw what was in their heart. And Moses interceded rapidly, and the next day the Lord destroyed Korah and the 250 men that followed him. Now Perry Stone said this, that when preachers divide from a church and start another church, they never grow past 250 members. And I started thinking about that fact. You know, I think he's right. It's important to do things the right way. Sometimes people do the right thing with the wrong reason. If you build, you have to build biblically. You don't have a right to teach error. Nobody does. I don't. And I don't want to. So when I first started out in ministry, I said, how in the world can I not preach error? I could be deceived and not know it. And in some ways, I knew I was. I knew I wasn't clear on everything. So I went before the Lord with my concern. And this is what I came up with. I said, I'm going to preach what God gives me. And then I'm going to shut up. And I'm going to learn from it. And that has helped me to grow. Now, within the doctrine that we had, women couldn't wear pants. They couldn't wear jewelry or makeup. And they had to wear those, a hat on their head. And some of them would put little dollies on their head so that, you know, they could obey the part in Corinthians where Paul said a woman ought to have her head covered. And all it did was cause problems. That's all it did. They thought they were good. They thought they were doing something better than others. Those are things that lead to pride. And everybody on the outside know it's stupid. They know it's just ridiculous. The women can't wear makeup. They can't dress up nice. They can't wear jewelry. And then some holiness churches, you could wear a wedding ring. You know, they didn't say nothing about your wedding ring. But you couldn't wear earrings. You couldn't wear lipstick. And they preached this. They drilled it into people for years. They can't wear pants. And then when their daughters go to school, they get cracked on. Because when I was going to high school, if the girls went to the holiness church, people talked about it. And made them feel, and they were sweet girls. They loved God, and some of them had the Holy Spirit and were sincere. And I used to get upset for them. It caused problems. The focus should have been on the Holy Spirit all along, but the focus was on the way the woman dressed. And then there was a guy in high school, he went to a holiness church. And they believed that you couldn't go to movies, you couldn't do all, you know, they had the same dress codes in many ways. And they couldn't play sports. Sports was of the devil. They're living in bondage. You can play sports if you want to. God invented sports. God is good, folks. He the one who made people to be great athletes. The Holy Spirit was bragging on David's men. He had, how many was it, 700 left-handed men, or 600 left-handed men that could sling a stone out of half breath. One man threw a spear to kill 300 men. One spear killed 300 enemies. Now, how did he do that? I don't know. But that spear went through 300 men and killed them. You have to read the word for yourself. It's not good to let people, no matter who it is. Remember, the enemy will use anybody he can get one over on. Even anointed people. Anybody can believe false doctrine. But error is not something that God can sanction. It's not something that he can use in his kingdom. And all that, you know, Jesus said, if you don't build with me, you scatter. And so I grew concerned. I said, well, Lord, if I'm going to do this, I want to do it the right way. I want to do what pleases you. And that's how I pray to God. I'm honest with him. My prayers are always short. They're not long. Unless I'm laboring in prayer. My prayers are not long. I get right to the point with God so he can get right to the point with me. Now, the Lord loves his people. So I paid more attention to what the Holy Spirit had to say. And I paid more attention to what the Word say. I knew the rules. Elder Lewis taught one thing right. He taught some things right. He said, the Holy Spirit will not defy the Word of God. But he believed, you know, he was under the persuasion that God sent problems to make you grow up, humble you, and turn you into gold. He said, when you come out of the wilderness, you're going to be like gold, tried in the fire, all these things. Error. Bondage. So when the devil is attacking you, you think it's God. Instead of fighting back, you brag about how what you went through. Now, Paul talked about all the things, all the demise that he had. But it was an attack. It was not from God. It was from rebellious, cold-hearted people, full of cold religion and satanic rituals. You know, what's the difference of a satanic ritual and false doctrine? False doctrine just has a religious mask on. It sounds good to people that don't know, people in the dim, people who live in low light. It sounds good to them. But when you're in the light of God's word, you know what it is. It's a lie with a religious mask on. It can't help your life. It divides families. People get divorces unnecessarily. People are broke. They think they're better than others because they don't wear this and they do wear that and they don't go there. You're not going to go to hell for going to a stupid movie. You know it's a movie. You're not going to go to hell for going to the Tide and Tiger game. You can go to the basketball game every time you want to. It don't matter. These were things that people included in the Word of God. They included it in their doctrines. I know they tried, but they were wrong. Some things are just error. And nobody say anything. So, sometimes a lot of people go to these churches, they don't believe all that. They just go because their family goes. I went because I wanted to know about the Holy Spirit. But I had to learn more about him on my own. Now, there were some things I learned. I learned to pray. I learned to enter his presence through worship. I learned a lot. Don't get discount church because it's not perfect. But don't amen any form of error. And if the Lord leads you to deal with it, then do what he leads you to do. The Lord sent me to another holiness church, and they had a new members class years ago. And they had their dress code doctrine. It was similar to the one at Refuge Temple where I went. And Sister May said, if you have a problem, go and talk to the pastor about it. I said, okay. So I set up a meeting where I went and talked to him. I said, well, I agree with everything, but I don't think it's wrong for women to wear pants and jewelry. They didn't have the jewelry problem. Women could wear jewelry, you know, they didn't want them to wear makeup. I said, I don't believe all that stuff. I'm just going to be honest with you. I think it's wrong. And, you know, they could wear, if wearing that stuff ain't going to hurt them one way or the other. And he said, I respect your honesty. He was glad that I was honest with him. I said, when I preach, I just won't talk about it, but I don't believe all that. I just told him like it is. Because it scatters. And guess what? From the time that I began to minister, the Lord never, ever had me to preach a doctrine of a dress code of a woman. The closest thing I had was dress modesty. I didn't even define it. I just said the word said dress modesty, just dress modestly. And I kept going. He never had me to talk about the makeup. He never told me to speak against it. He never told me to teach against women wearing pants, jewelry. He never told me to preach against people going to the movies or sports. You know, a lot of people have a problem with cigarettes and coffee and things like that. Coffee, I don't believe it's wrong. Cigarettes, I think it's stupid, but I don't preach it. Because I know the reason I wouldn't smoke is because my aunt died when I was about 7 years old and I saw what cigarettes can do. But some people smoke all their life. I'm not with smoking. I don't do smoking. I'm not for it. I did a reference about cigarettes. I said, I can't be tempted with cigarettes because I don't like them. But there are people who smoke, and I believe God still deal with them. My father smoked pipes and preached the word. I wouldn't do it, but that came out of his culture. Now, anything that you have a problem with, you take it to the Holy Spirit, and that's a Holy Spirit. That's a problem for him to deal with you about. But I don't put people down because of what they do, except for the things written in Galatians chapter 5 and 6. You know, those are the things that's written that's going to keep your behind out of heaven. Fornication, adultery, homosexuality, witchcraft, stealing, lying, being a false witness. All those things will keep you out of the kingdom. Unforgiveness. That's what I call the no-nos. And the Lord spelt it out well. Said, those that do these things would not enter heaven. I know Paul said that, told Tim to drink a little wine for your stomach's sake. Wine has alcohol in it. Alcohol kills children. He said, drink a little wine. Now, I don't drink at all because I saw what wine do to people. Some people, it make them mean. Some people, it enhance them to be crazy. And after I saw what other people did, the cars have whiskey dents. I don't want that in my life. And I have a lot of Indian in me. My mother told me, said, don't ever drink. Your people don't handle it well. And I believe that was enough for me. I don't drink. I'm not going to drink. I never drink recreationally. I'm against it. But I can't say it's a sin because the first miracle Jesus did was turn water to wine. Didn't say it was 100 proof, but he turned water into wine. And I don't think he would have done that if it was completely wrong. Proverbs said, don't look on the wine when it's red. Don't wait till it's so fermented you can't, you stagger when you walk. It's just not wise to get yourself where you're out of your mind. People to get you to sign something when you're drunk. And I heard of a lot of terrible things people do to people when they're drunk. And it's wrong to get drunk. I wouldn't have it. Now, if I had to get my arm sawed off, okay, I'd get sedated. But no, not recreation. I wouldn't do it just to be doing it. God loves us, and he will not guide us wrong. The Holy Spirit will correct some things. So the things that I'm not sure about, I don't bother. If the Lord says something, I'll say something under his wisdom. But these are topics I never got brought up in my ministry. And I've been ministering since 1987. I love God. I don't need something to prove that I love God. I don't want sin in my life. I didn't want to lust out the women. I didn't want to lust out the other people's belongings. I didn't want to be covetous. And I definitely didn't want to be in pride. Because I read a scripture that said God hates it. And I don't want to be anything close to what he hates. And I definitely don't want to smell like the devil. So the things that people make a big deal out of, in the days of Paul, they tried to blend the law with grace. They said, if you're not circumcised, you're not going to heaven. And Paul had to deal with these problems. He said, the rudiments and doctrines of men, he said, now Paul said, touch not, taste not, handle not. And I obeyed the Lord in that area. But a lot of ministers I know, they preach all this wild stuff. It's just cold religion. It's satanic with a religious mask on. And all it does is divide the people of God. And it gives people a reason. It gives them a reason to just not go to church anymore. And some churches didn't. They shunned Holy Spirit baptism. They shunned speaking in tongues. They thought it was crazy because holiness people can be so obnoxious. Pentecostal people, holiness people, charismatic can be. If they let the devil in their doctrine, he's going to make a mess of it. And all of these things work together to steal the attention away from the wonderful presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit got a bad deal when it came to these doctrines. Because if people are acting crazy and then they brag about how they received the Holy Spirit, then in the world's mind, the Holy Spirit caused you to be crazy. Now, speaking in tongues is already off the charts. But it's holy. It gives the Holy Spirit a chance to help your spirit pray for the things you need the most. And Paul said, don't pray in. When you have a lot of people in church that are not used to it, don't pray it. Don't pray in the. Don't get on a speaking in tongue match like they did in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, because they're going to think you're crazy. Allow people to be introduced to the wisdom of God. Speaking in tongues is a holy blessing. It's holy. It's important. But along with all the doctrines and crazy things people do, the enemy's going to try to divide people from it. The first time they spoke in tongues, it was a miracle. People had a chance to hear common people speaking in the lands they came from. It's the perfect wisdom of God. There are three uses for tongues. One is to let you know the Holy Spirit is with you. You can pray in the Holy Spirit in private. And the Lord can, he can bless you. You know, the Holy Spirit will help your spirit to pray. That's the second use for tongues. Then there's the gift of tongues. And that's different. somebody in church was speaking tongues, and then the Lord called somebody else to interpret it. And those two equal prophecy. And that, those things are used by God to arrest people's attention so that they can go forward in life. But when you hold the truth, when you do foolish things, the enemy will use it against the purposes of God. And these things work together to steal your focus. And we're going to go back to focus. You know, the Lord has some more things for me to share on focus. We'll deal with that next time, if he wills. But the Lord wants people to know him. All the crazy things, the dead doctrines, it's just satanic rituals with a religious mask. You don't have to obey those foolish rules. And anything you're concerned about, go to the Lord. Study the word. Go by the word. And it's all right to ask the Holy Spirit for clarity. And he knows what he's doing. Just be willing to obey whatever he says. You'll be fine. He'll guide you into all truth. And you don't have to go out preaching error. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in your life. Till next time. Remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.